The attack was fierce, without mercy, leaving Blindy handicapped for life. Yet Blindy wanted no pity. He had taken his revenge. A Man of the World by Ernest Hemingway. The blind man knew the sounds of all the different machines in the saloon. I don't know how long it took him to learn the sounds of the machines, but it must have taken him quite a time, because he only worked one saloon at a time. He worked two towns, though, and he would start out of the flats long after it was good and dark on his way up to Jessup. He'd stop by the side of the road when he heard a car coming, and their lights would pick him up. And either they would stop and give him a ride, or they wouldn't, and would go on by on the icy road. It would depend on how they were loaded, and whether there were women in the car. Because the blind man smelled plenty strong, and especially in winter. But someone would always stop for him, because he was a blind man. Everybody knew him, and they called him Blindy, which is a good name for a blind man in that part of the country. And the name of the saloon that he threw his trade to was the Pilot. Right next to it was another saloon, also with gambling and a dining room, that was called the Index. Both of these were the names of mountains. And they were both good saloons, with old days bars, and the gambling was about the same in one as in the other. Except you ate better in the Pilot, probably. Blindy probably preferred the Pilot, because the machines were right along the left-hand wall as you came in and faced the bar. This gave him better control over them than he would have had at the Index, where they were scattered on account it was a bigger place with more room. On this night it was really cold outside, and he came in with icicles on his moustache, and he didn't look really very good. Even his smell was froze. But that wasn't for very long, and he started to put out almost as soon as the door was shut. It was always hard for me to look at him, but I was looking at him carefully, because I knew he always rode, and I didn't see how he would be frozen up so bad. Finally, I asked him, "Where you walk from, Blindy?" "Willie Sawyer put me out of his car down below the railway bridge. There weren't no more cars come, and I walked in." "What did he put you afoot for?" somebody asked. "Said I smelled too bad." Somebody hit on a machine, but it wasn't any heavy hit. Blindy moved on it just the same. It was a quarter machine, and the young fellow who was playing it gave him a quarter, sort of reluctantly. Blindy felt it before he put it in his pocket. "Thank you," he said. "You'll never miss it." The young fellow said, "Nice to know that," and put a quarter back in the machine and pulled down again. He hit again, but this time pretty good, and he scooped in the quarters and gave a quarter to Blindy. "Thanks," Blindy said. "You're doing fine." "Tonight's my night," the young fellow who was playing said. "Your night is my night," Blindy said, and the young fellow went on playing. But he wasn't doing any good any more, and Blindy was so strong standing by him, and he looked so awful, and finally the fellow quit playing and came over to the bar. "What will yours be, Tom?" Frank, the bartender, asked me. "This is on the house." "I was figuring on shoving." "Have one first, then." Frank asked the young fellow what he would drink, and the young fellow took the same. The whiskey was Old Forester. I nodded to him, and raised my drink, and we both sipped at the drinks. Blindy was down at the far end of the machines. I think he figured maybe no one would come in if they saw him at the door. Not that he was self-conscious. "How did that man lose his sight?" the young fellow asked me. "In a fight," Frank told him. "I wouldn't know," I told him.
"Him fight?"
the stranger said. He shook his head.
"Yeah," Frank said. "He got that high voice out of the same fight.
Tell him, Tom."
"I never heard of it."
"No, you wouldn't have," Frank said. "Of course not. You wasn't here, I suppose. Mister, it was a night about as cold as tonight. Maybe colder. It was a quick fight, too. I didn't see the start of it. Then they came fighting out of the door of the Index. Blackie, him that's blindy now, and this other boy, Willie Sawyer. And they were slugging and kneeing and gouging and biting, and I see one of Blackie's eyes hanging down on his cheek. They were fighting on the ice of the road, with the snow all banked up, and the light from this door and the Index door. And Hollis Sands was right behind Willie Sawyer, who was gouging for the eye, and Hollis kept hollering,
"Bite it off! Bite it off! Just like it was a grape!"
Blackie was biting into Willie Sawyer's face. And he had a good pull, and it gave away with a jerk. And then he had another good pull. And they were down on the ice now, and Willie Sawyer was gouging him to make him let go. And then Blackie gave a yell like you'd never heard, worse than when they cut a boar. Blindy had come up opposite us, and we smelled him and turned around.
"Bite it off, just like it was a grape,"
he said in his high-pitched voice, and looked at us, moving his head up and down. "That was the left eye. He got the other one without no advice. Then he stomped me when I couldn't see. That was the bad part." He patted himself.
"I could fight good then," he said. "But he got the eye before I knew even what was happening.
He got it with a lucky gouge."
"Well," Blindy said, without any ill feeling, "that put a stop to my fighting days."
"Give Blackie a drink," I said to Frank.
"Blindy's the name, Tom. I earned that name. You've seen me earn it. That's the same fellow who put me adrift down the road tonight."
"Fellow bit the eye. We ain't never made friends."
"What did you do to him?" the stranger asked.
"Oh, you'll see him around," Blindy said. "You'll recognize him any time you see him. I'll let it come as a surprise."
"You don't want to see him," I told the stranger.
"You know, that's one of the reasons I'd like to see sometimes," Blindy said. "I'd like to just have one good look at him."
"You know what he looks like," Frank told him. "You went up and put your hands on his face once."
"Did it again tonight, too," Blindy said happily. "That's why he put me out of the car."
"He ain't got no sense of humour at all." I told him, on a cold night like this, he'd ought to bundle up, so the whole inside of his face wouldn't catch cold. He didn't even think that was funny.
"You know, that Willie Sawyer, he'll never be a man of the world."
"Blackie, you have one on the house," Frank said. "I can't drive you home, because I only live just down the road. But you can sleep in the back of the place."
"That's mighty good of you, Frank. Only, just don't call me Blackie. I'm not Blackie anymore. Blindy's me name."
"Have a drink, Blindy."
"Yes, sir," Blindy said. His hand reached out and found the glass, and he raised it accurately to the three of us.
"That Willie Sawyer," he said. "Probably alone home by himself. That Willie Sawyer, he don't know how to have any fun at all."
Mercy.
Handicapped.
For life.
Revenge. Good and.
Depend on, or depend upon.
Scoop.
Freeze up.
Shove.
Self-conscious.
Slug.
Gouge.
Bank up.
Let go.
Stomp.
Pat.
a stop to.
Lucky.
Adrift.